Psalm 119, 169 to the end of the psalm. I was joking with Terrence today and I said, you know, I won't have any time for the devotion because it'll probably take more than an hour to read the entire psalm. But I thought if that were the case, no one would ever come back. So Psalm 119, 169, it says, "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. And let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would enlighten us and help us to draw lessons from out of your word. We pray that it will be profitable, and especially for some who are struggling spiritually, may it be words of wisdom to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, everyone knows that Psalm 119 is about the word of God. Okay, you don't have to be a Christian long to figure that out. Right? Everyone knows it's, you know, the word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. Right? Everyone knows that we are to hide God's word in our heart. Right? It is a word from God about his word. Right? The word, the law, the testimonies, the commandments of the Lord, how they direct us. And if we are to obey, the psalm says, we will be blessed. You know, conversely, if we don't obey, what's the result? Obvious, right? We won't be blessed. We won't be able to be blessed. So no one can really, come away from reading the psalm without this impression. But the problem is this, right? We all know that we do badly at times. We all backslide. We disobey God, and therefore we don't always get his blessings. You know, is there anyone here who's doing badly spiritually? And the answer is from time to time, right? Well, this psalm teaches us what we are to do. And this psalm especially tells us what we ought to do when we are doing badly. You could say, in other words, this psalm teaches us how to backslide well. Well, not in the sense that it teaches us how to backslide well, but we already do that enough, right? Well enough on our own. But it teaches us that when we do backslide, when it happens, well, what do we do? What should our attitude be to get out of that? All right? Now, you know, while the psalm is about the wonders and blessings of God's word, it does teach us what we do when we backslide. And what's interesting is after the entire psalm that talks about how good God's word is, you know, if I listen to God's word, if I do God's word, then I'll prosper. What is the psalm's concluding line? Kind of depressing, actually. The last verse of Psalm 119, verse 176 says, "I've gone astray." Now, this is something that you probably don't expect. After talking about how wonderful God's word is, then at the end, it's kind of like an anti-climax, right? "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." I'm not sure if you ever noticed that when reading Psalm 119, that this is actually the last verse, the conclusion of the entire psalm. Now, here he confesses that he has gone astray. He has backslidden. And so from this verse, I want to draw 2 points. Firstly, true believers do backslide. True believers do backslide. And secondly, when we backslide, what must we do? All right? Now, firstly, true believers do backslide. And what we find out from here is that he was a true believer. From his testimony, Right? In Psalm 97, we learn that he loved God's law. He didn't just merely respect it or thought it was, you know, a nice word on a Sunday morning, but he loved it. He says in verse 97, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." And we learn in verses 145 to 147, he also had a life of prayer. He prayed, right? He prayed daily. He said, "I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. I cried unto thee, save me, and I shall keep thy testimonies." So he loved the law, he prayed, and thirdly, he also praised God for the word, or he praised the word. All right, in verse 164, he said, "Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments." And lastly, we know he was a believer because he was obedient. Verse 22 says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." You know, what's the proof of the pudding? What's the proof that you're a believer? Because once upon a time you said the sinner's prayer and you walked down the aisle? No. What is it? If you obey, if you love God, if you are wholly given over to God. Now, so these are the signs that he was a true believer. But what we learn is that he went astray. It could have been some sin. He may have neglected his time with the Lord. He may not have been as earnest in his obedience. And he openly admits it in verse 176. And interestingly, it wasn't the first time he had backslidden. He had backslidden before. You know, verse 67, it says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." So it's happened before. You see, our Christian lives will be one of continual cycle of struggling, defeat, and victory. Struggling, defeat, and victory. You know, it's never, ever smooth going. I'm sure all of us can acknowledge that, right? Anyone here who, you know, just from the get-go, you're just super? No, obviously not, right? There's always this cycle of struggling, right? You know, we will always struggle until heaven, but it is important to struggle. Now, that is the important thing. The mark of a Christian is that he struggles. Now, verse 176 tells us that he went astray like a lost sheep. And the word "lost" in 176 literally means perishing. He felt like he was a perishing sheep. You know, commentators tell us that there are only two animals who, when they fall on their back, can never get right side up again. No, it's not a turtle. Right? Turtles can. It's not even a cockroach, apparently, you know. Once they fall on their back, all of these other animals can get right side up. The only two animals are apparently sheep and chicken. Okay? Yeah, apparently chicken can't, right? So usually what a shepherd does is when he checks his flock, sometimes he will have found that the sheep has died because it became immobilized because it was on its back. Now, when does a sheep fall on its back and is unable to get up? Well, firstly, when it's too comfortable, right? It might go to sleep and fall over and never be able to get back up, and so it dies. And a sheep that is not sheared, right, it keeps getting a lot of wool. It gets all this rocks and sticks and dirt stuck to it, and it weighs it down, and so it, you know, falls on its back. And also a sheep that gets lost, it wanders from the fold, can also fall on its back. So if a sheep gets lost and wanders too far, the terrain may be too treacherous, it may slip, it falls, and then it falls on its back, and that's how it dies. And you know, I can draw many parallels from these examples. When we get too comfortable, when we think we're doing okay, that's when we fall. When we pick up too much sin and too many distractions come our way, right? We fall and we backslide, right? When we wander from the fold, we go our own separate ways. You know, we trip and we fall, you know, and we suffer because of that. So So true believers do backslide. This was a person who had backslidden before. But secondly, when we backslide, what must we do? What does this verse tell us? I think the first thing it tells us is that we need to acknowledge our lostness. That's what the psalmist at the end did, right? He says, I've gone astray. I admit it. You know, one of the most dangerous things for a Christian not to do is to admit that he has gone astray. You know, and we always do that, don't we? You know, because we don't repent as we should. We don't pray as we should. We don't remorse. Is that a verb? Yeah, we don't, you know, have remorse, right? We don't cultivate it. We don't grieve for it. But he did. At the end of all of that, what did he say? I've gone astray. Seek me. Find me. Because I am perishing. All right? You know, the psalmist could have easily fallen back on his credentials. I'm the psalmist of 119. You know, I wrote all these things about the Word of God. You know, God's Word is a lamp unto your, you know, you should know that. Right? He could have said, I've hidden God's Word in my heart. But he didn't. At the end of all of that, he admitted he was lost. He plainly saw how it was, and he acknowledged it. Now, the second thing is, after acknowledging, he cried out to be found. I think this is beautiful because he didn't say, I know what to do. I know the Word. Yes, this is what you do. You go back to God. But he didn't. He said, seek thy servant. That's a wonderful thing, right? Sometimes we tell our kids to do certain things, right? And, you know, my first one's a know-it-all. And I say, I know, I know. I know, I know. But all of us are like that, right? I know, I know. But we don't know. We need help. The proof of the pudding is not how well you obey, because you won't, you can't, right? But how much you go to God and you cry out to God. So he said, seek thy servant. You know, many who backslide ought to desire help. You know, no one ought to remain like that. It's like the prodigal son. You know, when he was feeding the pigs, he wanted to eat the pig food. It got to the point when he was troubled, right? That's when he cried out for help. A Christian will do that eventually. Sometimes we're slow to learn and we don't get there as fast as we should, right? But that is also a mark that we are not content to stray. But the interesting thing is sometimes we get into a state where we are very apathetic. I'm sure it's happened to you, hasn't it? You know, I was watching a documentary once on the sun bear. You know the sun bear, right? You know, sun bear is famous in that horrible country of China where they put a tube in its stomach to extract the bile. Why? Because they think that eating bear bile is good for health, right? And all these bears are in cages with these tubes sticking into their gallbladder, is it? Where does the bile come from? It's stored in the gallbladder, right? Right? And so the bears just stay there. They do nothing. They've kind of almost just given up. But we who are believers ought not to have this kind of attitude, right? We cry out. I mean, some of these bears probably in the beginning were, meh, meh, cry out, right? But then after a while, they just stay there with a tube sticking out of their stomach. No cries, no nothing. They've accepted it. All right? But we as Christians ought to struggle, to cry out, to admit our need for help. And this admission is accompanied with a sense of anticipation, because God has promised that he will help. Now, he cried out here, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. It was his whole being. He really wanted God to seek him out, to be merciful unto me according to thy word. And he also wanted to be free from sin. Yes, we Christians can enjoy sin, but we desperately, eventually want out of sin. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Right? So, he cried out to be found. But thirdly, he also was tenacious in his desire to be obedient. Now, the last part of Psalm 119 is, "For I do not forget thy commandments." After saying all of that, he admitted that he was astray, that he needed to be sought out by God, but he hung on tenaciously to, "For I will not forget thy commandments." And really, the phrase, I do not forget, is a double negative. Essentially, he's saying, I remember. I will keep on remembering. You know, when we backslide, it's an awful thing when we don't know that we're backsliding. So we need to acknowledge it. It's a horrible thing if we don't cry out to God, because we're basically saying, I'm sufficient. But we need to cry out. But thirdly, we need to be tenacious, to want, to desire, to obey. All right? And it's a double negative. And sometimes using a double negative, especially in the Hebrew, brings out more emphasis. Right? I mean, you can say, she's not so unattractive. Wait, that's a bad example. Right? I'm trying to think of an example, huh? Boy, this roast duck is really, really not bad at all. Means that's pretty good, right? All right, so that's what he's saying. He's saying that he will not forget God's commandments. He is remembering them. He will keep on remembering God's word. And really, that is being tenacious. He's being stubborn. In this context, it's even though you're backsliding, you're not doing as well as you ought to be, you never say die as a Christian. You will still press on. You know, when you don't feel like praying, what do? You pray. You don't feel like reading God's word, what do? You read God's word. When you don't feel like forgiving, what do? You just forgive. All right, these are the things that we do. There's a stubborn hope in God. You know, true saints cannot erase the law that has been written on their heart. The word remains there. It beckons to us. It entices us. It gives no rest to us. And that's the wonderful thing about God. And that's why we give in to God and obey. So we need to continue to hope and trust, not just admitting our condition, crying out to Him, but to have this tenacious belief that God will seek us out. Remember, it's not what we do as Christians. Sure, I mean, that's important. But the greatest, you know, modern evangelical lie is, if you have all of these biblical disciplines and you do all of these things, if you, you know, read the word, pray, do all of these things, you'll be fine. It's not like that. We won't always be fine. We'll be better than if we don't do it, obviously. But we still need to cry out to God. The psalmist, all 175 verses before that, talking about the word. But in the end, what was he actually like? Struggling. And he needed to call out to God. And that's what we need to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would instruct us. If there are any who do struggle, help them. Help us, Lord, that we may look with anticipation at you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.